Hello, podcasters. This is your last special podcast because we are back on Tuesday. I know, exciting. Today, it's all about inspiring women, and there are so many amazing chats in here. You might want to sit down with your daughters or with your girlfriends or just with your husbands, boyfriends, brothers, sisters, whatever, and enjoy this podcast with them. There's so many amazing women in here, Dr. Leah Walters. She's got some good advice for mums. We talk about the female Doctor Who, what happened when M saw Wonder Woman. Ricky Lee's in here, Tina Arena. We'll talk tampons with the founder of Tom, Amy. Kate McCartney and Kate McLennan are in. There's Jessica Mowboy, Sophie Monk, Tracy Spicer, Turia Pitt. There are so many amazing chats within this entire podcast. You is going to be going, yes, ladies, yous rock. Enjoy this. I shouldn't even be here. I should have got someone much more powerful and intelligent to do the introduction, but you got to suffer through me. Enjoy.
Harley has been removed from the studio because I am here with just someone I've looked up to for so long. She's my hero. She's a fellow immigrant's daughter, and we were just talking about the hardships of that and the joys of growing up as an Italian man's daughter in this country. Please welcome Australia's most celebrated female singer, Tina Arena.
Teens, I love it.
Oh my God,
Let's cut the crap.
She's so excited.
Breathe, Em.
I can't.
No, please.
No, but these are the moments. There are a few moments in my career where, you know, sometimes I have to just peddle the worst shit. And I'm like... But then there are some days where magic happens and you get to have someone in the room and say to them, thank you. Thank you for being you. Thank you for being fierce and outspoken and Italian and just a good singer. Just no auto-tune, no crap. Like, as my dad, and please, Vincey Russiano, if you can say hello, Vincey.
Vince, this is Tina.
Oh, my God.
Mate, what happened?
Oh, my God.
Did you throw out the mould or do you still have a little bit of that sort of somewhere? Listen, your daughter is lovely and
oh my God.
Thank you to the both of you for being so gorgeous.
Oh, and Tina Renner.
Oh, Em.
I can't. No,
can
you
we,
just...
Are we going to have a moment of seriousness?
There's going to be so many moments during this interview. I can already tell there's going to have to be an extended podcast. On a Saturday night, Tina, I would watch Young Talent Time and then Hey Hey Saturday. That was my ritual, right? And you were a part of both those shows often, obviously. Mm. There's no one close to you. You must look at the other girls and just go, bow down, bitches. You can try. Like, even at the Arias, you were just I watched you at the Arias slay. You were just like, that's nice, Veronica's. That's nice, Jeff. I'll have my go, mate. And I was watching you, and every gay I know, because you're a huge gay icon. I mean, you.
So are you, my dear. And I saw you wearing that black dress. You wore it really beautiful.
Thanks.
No, serious.
I do my best.
did well.
But I want you to revel in it more, being the gay icon, serious, fierce bitch. Like, I want you more. Do more.
Okay. All right. Let me just try and break this down a little bit.
Yes.
Okay. When you come from the education and the background that I come from.
Yes.
Kim Kardashian, Paris Hilton, and all those girls who no doubt are really lovely.
Yeah.
Didn't exist.
I can't sing like you.
Well, who cares?
Oh, I do.
So I grew up in a different time. Mm. My references were different.
Mm.
They were women who had
talent
and ambition and had to work really hard.
See, that you were that for me. You were my that.
I worked really hard, and today it is what it is, you know. I just don't come from that, and I don't care for it, and I don't judge it either.
No.
Because everybody does what they want to do, but I'm just, I hate bullshit.
Me
I think
too.
Everybody knows that. And I do keep it real because I understood something a long time ago. My personal life is my personal life, and I have a professional life, and I'm a professional artiste.
You are, but I would watch the shit out of a Tina Arena reality show.
I can't
draw
the line.
I would watch that so hard. You would. I would never leave the telly.
No, you wouldn't. Katy Perry this weekend.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I take my hat off to her.
Me too.
Because it's not my cup of tea, but I admire the courage of being able to show yourself for 24.
I agree.
that is also taking the life and what is popular culture to the limits for me. I would kind of like to pull it back a little bit because I'm not really sure if I want to see or know about who you shagged, who's better in list of priorities, because I don't really care. I did enjoy seeing Sia, though, with those glasses. I mean,
she was trolling everyone, wasn't she?
Dynamite. God bless Sia.
Imagine your two voices together. That would move the space-time continuum.
She would sing me under a truck. And I, you know what?
Hush your mouth.
I tried to sing Chains last week and I'm down two tones on you, so let's not even go there.
No, but anyway, just to finish that story, I think it's really great and I think that Sia has the right attitude.
Yes.
Everybody out there, let that be a little bit of a lesson to you in the very sad world that we live in today. Have a good laugh. Don't take yourself too seriously. Unless you come up with a cure for cancer, that's when you're my hero. Otherwise, just get along with it and have fun.
Sage words spoken by one Tina Arena. You know what else I love? How you're able to keep your voice very calm. You talk like Beyonce and Alicia Keys because you have an instrument. I just screech like a banshee the whole time and then can't think why I can't sing in a gig. I need to learn that from Tina Arena.
Got to calm down. I'm really highly strung. I just hide it well.
Oh, gosh.
She should come in more often. She really calmed that whole... That was 100%.
Well, there's another part two of the interviews coming up, but I thought we'd have a little break so that we can play Tina Arena's ball-tearing, number one, all-time greatest pop song. Belt this out, Sydney, you know you want to, even though you won't be able to hit the high notes. After Chains, we're back with part two of my chat with Tina Arena. Well, look, you are going on tour, the Innocence to Understanding Greatest Hits Tour at ICC Sydney Theatre, September 23rd, tinaarena.com.au for tickets.
Are you coming?
Yes. Try and stop me. I'll be front row. Oh, my God.
Can't you do what you ask?
Do you know me up on stage? I can't sing in her key. Cannot sing in tenor in a written key, not one song.
Oh, listen.
I'm a male tenor.
We're fiddling with the keys, hon. At nearly my age, I've never changed keys, but I'm starting to because I think it's important.
Yeah. No, I'm a male tenor, that range, so nowhere near. It doesn't work.
Yeah, but I don't really care about how high you can go. I care about what comes out and how it comes out.
I've got some tone. I've got some tone on me.
I know you've got tonage. But let's talk about this show. The show is very interesting.
Yes. Backing dancers?
No.
Full band, costume changes. What are you doing?
Yeah, of course we do costume changes.
Yes,
and do you honestly
Tina.
Think that I would do one costume?
Wind machines?
No.
Hair pieces?
No.
Teens,
I
you need
prefer
our
the
wind
ball.
Machine.
Listen, give me another 10 years I'll be doing the hair pieces. Mate, at the rate I'm going, I'll be bald in 10 years. So anyway, we're doing that. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work and goodness me, I don't know when there'll be another tour after that because quite frankly, I don't know.
Cher's touring at 72, doll. Don't
please
stop.
Please don't do that to me.
Cher's coming out next year, 72.
Bless her.
Bless
gorgeous
her.
Woman.
God.
No, it's a lot of hard work and I'm going to...
Did you just slip in We're Great Friends?
No, I didn't
did you
say
Oh,
that.
I thought you just
I said,
said
God bless
oh,
her.
Oh, I thought you said We're Great Friends. I nearly stopped you down and made you call her. Sure. Yeah, you could do it. You could do a tour. You are
not dressed up in that tight and that replica.
But you know, it's a
if I could turn back time.
Yes.
If I could find a way. That outfit, though, it's 72 M's.
But you know it's
I
a wetsuit. So all that shows is her face, and Bob Mackie's made her a flesh wetsuit that he's bedazzled, so it's all sucked in under wig.
So that flesh, so
it's
that
not
whole
her
thing,
flesh.
It's got the flesh.
Yeah,
oh,
it's all
dear.
Sucked in.
Now you've really frightened the shit out of me. Are you, is, what,
true.
Next you're going to tell me she's drag in drag? It's
well,
a bloke. It's a bloke.
It could be. That would be believable. I know quite a few Cher impersonators.
Let's not talk about Cher. It's my turn.
That could have been a line straight from my mouth. It's my time, bitch. It's my time. So you're going to have costume changes. And are you singing I Need Your Body?
I'm going to be doing.
I love that song so much. Remember that film clip where you were like, "Boozy's out and on the railing and
I was
looking
like
down."
17,
at,
too, Em. I was
I
going
know.
Through puberty.
You could very well.
Yeah.
You were busting out, and I just remember you on
I
the
was
railings.
Trying to bust
just,
a move.
Yeah,
too.
Just on the railings in that house overlook. I need your body.
Don't tell me someone's filming. Is someone filming?
Yeah,
is
of course.
This film. Oh, Christ!
You were amazing.
Anyway,
are you singing that one?
I am seeing that. I'm going back. It's a retrospective, so it's an elaborated show.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of work,
mm-hmm.
and But I'm very, very excited because it's musically really exciting too.
Oh, nice. Mm. Good. So you got a nice big band happening.
I've got a great band, great production. It's going to be beautiful. And I think that come along because it might be the last one for a while.
Oh, stop it. I don't know. I will.
It will be for a little while.
All right. She's tired. Bitch needs a rest, you guys. She's had it.
Bitch needs a rest.
Tina Arena.
I've earned it.
The bitch needs a rest tour. Do it.
Somewhere. Oh my God. I really like that.
Tina Arena, Innocence to Understanding, Greatest Hits Tour at the ICC Sydney Theatre, September 23rd. Info at tinaarena.com. .com. Of course it is. It's Tina Arena. Tinaarena.com. Vincey and I will be there front row. Don't you even worry. Try and keep us away. Thank you for this chat. You're just a gem.
Thanks, Em. Thanks, guys, so much.
Well, she was delightful.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, I left.
She was so great. You would have actually liked her. Yeah. She's more at your pace of life.
Yeah, she seemed like she was at my pace.
She was super relaxed and I was like a crazy duck spinning my legs fast under the water. Don't forget tinaarena.com. I'm definitely going to see that show. It's her greatest hit show, the band. My dad and I will be there. You should definitely get tickets, Sydney. Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, more so than usual, you lost your tiny mind.
I didn't mean to. It was
no,
set
I know.
Off.
I could see that you... By a question.
No, but we played a song that was Outkast, Hey Ya.
That's right.
And I recalled how Marty Worrell sang that on the Australian Idol tour circa 2005.
And then I went, what was it like being on tour? And then you, your eyes actually roll back into your head. You became another person.
I talked about an incident that happened backstage.
You did that.
I was doing double handers above my head.
Yeah.
I talked about an incident that happened backstage regarding a tan of spray can and Chanel Cole.
Yeah.
The tan and the cans are like the size of a cup, right? Yeah. And I said to her, Chanel, you're going to need more than one can. And she's like, are you calling me fat? I'm like, no, I'm not calling you fat. Those cans are super tiny. I use 5 of them to tan my legs. And so then Hayley Jensen's like, oh, Em, that was really mean. And then Ricky Lee walked in. She said, no, the cans are really small. It was so hectic. And then Chanel was dating Daniel Bell at the time, and he pushed me, and then security had to step in.
Oh, my God.
I'm genuinely sorry I asked.
Now, you were all like, Em, come on, this isn't true. And I'm like, dudes, I'll get Ricky Lee, my friend Ricky Lee, I'll get her.
We got her.
Of course we got her.
G'day, Ricky.
Don't make me get Ricky Lee.
Don't you make me get Ricky Lee out of the cupboard.
Don't you make me get Ricky Lee. I'll get her.
I will. Don't you tell me. Ricky Lee, you were there. You know, I revealed all. I talked about how much we hated Chanel. Like, it's out in the open now. It's done. So just forget it.
Is this how it went down,
Look,
Ricky Lee?
I have butterflies in my stomach. This is real. Now I know you were possessed yesterday. I watched the video and now I feel possessed. I've got all these weird butterflies in my tummy. I feel like throwing punches.
Because I told you, Ricky Lee went up against Chanel, her mortal enemy, to be voted out at number 7, and she got beaten by Chanel. And I remember texting Ricky going, anyone but her.
I know. But this incident, I remember it. I was there. What you forgot to say though, Em, was that we were doing a, it was like a media preview showing. We were doing a sound check. We were at the entertainment center. It was like sound check. So no one's in the place. No. Except like these key media people who are like reporting and like reviewing the show and how good it's supposed to be.
Great.
Not. And then we're standing backstage and I don't know why we were backstage, why she was like before going out for a media preview wanting to put Sally Hansen on her leg. Probably because she's really white.
True, she was.
But she's really pasty. Yeah. And I remember this all went down and it ends up in like the shit hit the fan. Chanel is screaming backstage. Em's yelling. There's F words flying. There's like it was crazy. Meanwhile, the people that we're supposed to be impressing are sitting out in the damn audience. And we it was terrible.
I did forget about that. It was a media performance.
It was a media thing. And then we all had to go out there and pretend like everything was okay and be like, hey, hey,
and we were singing Bootylicious.
Yeah. We were singing Bootylicious. That's right, in the worst outfit all time. I've got some photos of that. I'm going to send them to you because I just found some moving boxes with a whole Australian Idol tour photo album.
Oh, dear. Let's get our hands on that box.
I wet my pants.
Do you remember your camera got stolen on tour and there was bad
shots? Yes, I do. Yep.
Ricky had it.
No,
Yeah, we all got given
actual iPhones.
I know, we all got given Sony cameras, and like it was the new age of digital. Yeah. So Ricky went.
It was LG. Motorola.
Oh, wow. Know your brands. And you guys were the best brand ambassadors. Like,
we were the worst. But do you remember how small the tan and the cans were? Like, they were tiny, the Sally Hansons. They were miniature.
No, they were tiny. I've got a good set of thighs, and I reckon I could use at least two a leg.
So for once, I wasn't being mean, was I?
Well.
No.
Was there some acid in what she was saying?
There was no pepper.
Look, I think there's always a bit of acid in what M says. It was true. That stuff, the thing with the Sally Hansen, it's like it's super thick. It's very small cans. You know, she was super pasty. She would have had to use at least five cans.
Well, mate, I was up all night thinking about it.
I know you. I'm sure you were.
Ricky Lee, why are you back? Do you want anything you want to whore now you're on the radio? What do you got for me? What are you doing? What are you doing?
It's all secret stuff. No, I'm back. I've been living overseas for a couple of years, but I'm back and I've been working on new stuff and I'm just, you know, putting the little cherries on top, so to speak.
Yay. Oh, good. Well, you have to come in and perform for us at Live. We'll do a duet.
Yes! Let's do Hiya.
I'll get some big cans of spray.
Let's do Bootylicious. Not.
Oh, my God. We'll get the Fridays for everyone. Thank you for coming on and backing my side of the story, sort of.
No worries. No.
See you, bye.
See you, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Aren't you tired of paying big bucks to see a movie, only to find out afterwards it was kind of terrible?
If we paid to see this, we put ourselves through the movie gauntlet so you don't have to.
I'm Darren Hayes.
I'm Anthony Armentano.
And this is a movie podcast where we pay to see movies the week that they open and then just tell you our honest opinion about them.
We sometimes go off topic.
Can dogs smile?
See.
We might sometimes be a little not safe for work.
He means we swear.
Well, sometimes a movie is so f***ing terrible.
Or f***ing awesome.
That you have to.
Isn't this a great advertisement to check out We Paid to See This?
You can listen to the show at podcast1.com.au
or download the Podcast One app.
Yes. Okay.
What's going on?
A bit emotional, I won't apologize.
You never do that.
I
don't apologize.
I won't. Yesterday, I saw a movie with my daughters and my husband.
You went to the cinemas.
That has changed the trajectory of my life.
Yep. Celebrated the Queen's birthday by going to see a movie.
Yes.
Of a Queen.
All four of us.
Yes.
I need you to take all the people in your life to see this film. I saw Wonder Woman.
Yes.
I saw the 2017 edition DC Comics Wonder Woman. And as the film was happening, during the first fight scene, I found myself crying, like just tears coming down my eyes. And I felt overwhelmed, and so overwhelmed I wanted to leave the cinema.
Yeah.
And I was trying to sit in it and think, why are you so emotional?
Yeah.
And I realized. So Wonder Woman, the movie, tells the story of the genesis of Wonder Woman.
Yep.
And she never actually refers to herself as Wonder Woman in the film, which I love.
Yep.
So it's the genesis of Princess Diana, who grew up on the Paradise Island with the Amazons. And the Amazons are the race of women that Zeus gave to humankind to calm them down, to the men.
Yep.
And the opening 25 minutes is just fierce women training on an island in a paradise, and they have shields and armor. And Robin Wright, of course, from House of Cards, Princess Bride, she plays the general. And I was just weeping because I felt relief. I felt like finally the way I feel secretly, and I think a lot of women feel, was being represented. Representation is so important. And I was watching my girls and they had such shiny eyes, and my husband was sitting there smiling, and I looked around the theater and there were women, lots of women crying.
Yeah.
And this has evoked a thing in us that we didn't know we were missing and that we didn't know that we wanted until she was there in front of me in body armor and fierce thigh high boots and a wind machine that seemed to be constantly following her
that
around.
That is nice to have though.
But it was a moment. There's a moment where she runs. It's set during World War One, and there's a moment where she runs onto the battlefield of No Man's Land on the Western Front, and she's just there by herself with her armbands up and a shield and just deflecting bullets. And it's just she takes on No Man's Land, and no one else would do it. But also, Harley, I realize people don't make films where there's more than two women on screen where they're not either against each other or arguing over a man.
Or talking about a man in general.
Or talking about a man.
I'm pretty sure it's called the Bechdel test.
Yes, it is.
If all you need to pass the Bechdel test, I think it's a woman talking to another woman.
Not in conflict.
Anything other than a man for, think it's a very short amount of time. It's like of seconds or maybe a minute.
It passed with flying colours.
Which is great.
And it showed that when you put large groups of women together, wonderful, magical things can happen. We don't hate each other. We don't fight each other. And it showed little girls that, you know, you can face war with love. The whole theme of this movie was I believe in humans even though they destroy each other and there's wars. We can fight all this with love.
Yeah.
And the men in the film loved her and accepted her and were in awe of her and weren't threatened in any way.
Yeah.
Which is really important.
And I think you touch on a really important thing is growing up, I had so many different things that I could look up to as heroes in represented in movies. Heaps. Mm. Endless amounts. Mm. Whereas you, it's
had nothing.
Yeah.
And so I did. I sat there and I cried for 10-year-old Em because there she was, this fierce woman doing all the things in my little heart that I thought that I could do because I knew I was brave and most women are. And it's taken till 2017 for me to feel represented. And I'm so glad my daughters saw this. And I'm so glad there were so many little boys in the theatre seeing women being fierce. Yeah. Just as important for you to take your sons
absolutely
to see Wonder Woman.
Yeah, because little boys can look up to women that are heroes as an aspirational thing.
And as I'm walking up, there's a conversation between two little boys. I reckon she'd beat Spider-Man. She'll definitely beat Spider-Man. And these great conversations. And so I cannot recommend it enough. This is the superhero we deserve. And I just feel relieved. And I exhaled. I realized I've been holding my breath for a long time. And, of course, it was a wonderful woman directed it. And the lady who starred in it, Gal Gadot, she was 5 months pregnant when they did the reshoots. She's a former Israeli operative in the army. Right. She's a martial arts expert. Like, she's real deal.
Yes.
And so please go and see Wonder Woman. I can't recommend it enough. It is just, and you will get emotional. And the reason you're emotional is because you're finally represented. And it's just so great.
Good plug. It's great. Well done.
Thanks, guys. Now, the other day, sometimes it could be argued that you and I go in tangents. And we'll
a little bit.
Start out talking about one thing and then shiny things and then off we go on something else.
Yeah, it's why I want to start work at 6:01. I want no prep, just wandering.
It can happen.
Yeah.
And the other day was no exception, but it turns out our wandering monkey minds have helped a situation. We were talking about a guy who had pickpocketed a woman in a train.
Naughty.
I mean, when he realised, though, he pulled out a tampon.
Yes.
And then he just
off her pocket.
Out of her pocket.
Yes.
Yeah, an unused one.
Unused from her pocket.
And then he looked at it and went, you know what? She's probably going to need that back.
Yep.
So he then just gently tried to place it back in her pocket.
Which is when he got caught.
Yeah. And I said to her, and you and I both go, oh, you don't want to be caught out. It's the worst when you're caught out. You've got your monthly visitors come in. Yep. You've got a blowout. You've got the Japanese flag on the back of your pants.
Yes. And then I realised the day-to-day bullshit. I'm having to be caught out with that. It's not just provided in a toilet and like toilet paper is.
And then we jump to, why has it got a luxury tax item? Then we jump to, why does it cost any money at all?
It should just be free.
And then I remember that I worked for a charity called Share the Dignity that provides homeless women of Australia with sanitary products because sometimes women in this country, in 2017 in Australia, there is homeless women who have to pick between eating and being able to, you know, deal with their period.
Ridiculous choice to have to make.
No. And then that very morning, stick with me, Sydney. Then that very morning, we got Tom's Organic, great sanitary product brand. Yep. You and I both use them.
Yes, I use them. I'm a busy working mum. Yep. I've always got my Tom's on hand.
They just happened to send me through a pack of their new packaging and also
nothing to do with that talk. It just happened.
And they also were telling me about their new female empowerment grant.
Yes.
And then we challenged Tom's on air.
Yeah.
Why can't you help us help the homeless women of Australia?
Which, to be fair to Tom's, was a little unfair of us just to call that one brand out. But
I don't care. But I now have on the line Amy, the founder of Tom's Organic Cotton Female Hygiene Products, available in Coles, Woolies and Kmart Warehouse. Amy, hello.
Hi, Em. Thanks for having me.
How's it going?
We're thrilled to accept your challenge and just horrified to think that so many homeless women face unthinkable indignities, as you say, when they have their period. So it's just not okay.
Yeah.
And as I say, thrilled to accept your challenge. We're going to commit over 2,000 packs of Tom Organic to the wonderful work of Share the Dignity. We think the work that you do and Rochelle does behind this charity is just game-changing, and whatever we can do to support, we're there.
You know what?
Also, so the interesting thing I know about Tom's is that it's organic because yeah. you don't want to be putting stuff that's synthetic up your boots.
Up your clacker.
You want some nice product. That's why Tom's is good.
I mean,
this is very true.
You're the first major company, and you're not even that big. I mean, you know, you're the smaller compared to the other players, to actually do this. Like, we've had some donations in the past. I was collecting at my shows. Yeah. All my audience members were bringing in, you know, I just said, go to the supermarket, buy one for you, buy one for a woman in Australia who's in need.
Yeah.
And this is a huge commitment. So thank you so much. And I'm looking at doing something. I've got to kind of tell you about it, but I would like to maybe do a one-for-one with our listeners and see what we can do. But I mean, this is a huge start. Thank you very much for actually putting your money where your mouth is.
It's an absolute pleasure. And I know all the women in our team at Tom. It's a passionate team of 10 of us. And yes, we might be small, but we're extremely fierce in what we do. And we're all just so incredibly committed to this cause. We're a community-based brand. So to think that the women on our streets don't have access and are using alternatives that are not, you know, the purest organic cotton tampons, let alone tampons and pads at all, is just not okay.
Yeah. Well,
so
that's
thank
great.
You.
You know that Tom stands for time of the month.
I genuinely just
it's
like
great.
That. Yeah. I love it.
It's
and
good.
I am not, all jokes aside, I'm not a busy working mum. I'm a but I do buy Tom. Every time I go to the shops, that's what I'm buying for my partner.
Well, you know what you are, which Tom's also pushing this month. You're a feminist AF, and that's what we love.
Feminist AF.
Yeah. Amy, we'll keep in touch and obviously do more. And also big thanks to Share the Dignity, who this is where this all started for me. And they were the first kind of idea of making sure that the homeless women of Australia don't have to make the choice each month of whether they're going to eat or, you know, and have to. It's ridiculous and it's very upsetting. And thank you, Amy, and we'll keep in touch.
Absolute pleasure. And just off the back of the Female Empowerment Grant, for any women in the community out there who are doing incredible work, you can apply and nominate anyone or yourself on tomorganic.com.au to go in the running to receive over $25,000 in cash towards the movement that you're working on. So we really are putting our money where our mouth is there. So thanks for your support. Really appreciate it, guys.
The people.
Yeah, good on you. Good on everyone.
Hey, and also, if you're out and about today and you're off to buy your sanitary item and you don't normally buy Tom's, then I'm just straight up plug. Buy Tom's today.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you?
Help the brand that's helping those
others. And there's 10 women working in an office.
Yeah.
I love that.
Buy a lot.
Buy a lot.
From Melbourne's mean streets.
You could say this was the murder we missed.
A story you'll have to hear to believe.
He said he was a 200-year-old vampire.
Why was Shun Chandra Zabbard gunned down before giving evidence?
Two men shot him down. It's a mystery within a mystery within a mystery.
Listen now to this untold true crime story from Adam Shand. The Trials of the Vampire at podcast1.com.au or download the app.
We are very excited to have a real doctor with us, not like Harley's partner who's a fake professor.
I've got a fake professor.
Because she lied on her rental application.
That's right.
She a real doctor.
Dear professor yesterday.
Dr. Lee Waters, author of The Strength Squitch. Squitch. No. Switch.
The Strength Switch.
The Strength Switch.
By Lee Waters. Hey. We did it. Strength Switch. About positive parenting. I like this, and I'm excited that you're in here, and sorry that I'm looking at you like I'm desperate. I'm desperate.
I get that a lot, actually.
I guess I know I haven't read any books about parenting because we just do it because we think we've had a child, so we are now qualified, and that's not the case.
No.
And I try and only reward the positive things, behaviour, and not the but I don't know how to do that. I feel like I've fallen into a trap of barking at my kid and then things get done.
Yeah, look, you sound like most parents who also look at me with desperation. And look, the first thing I want to say is that's absolutely normal. It's the normal way to go. And it's partly because of the way our brains were wired. You know?
Yes.
From an evolutionary perspective, our brains were wired to scan the environment and notice the negative things in the environment more quickly than the positive things in the environment.
Okay.
And that's because if we quickly notice the negative, it's a threat. We can get out of harm's way. We can ensure our survival.
Yes.
So it's a really essential feature of our brain in terms of our survival, but you can appreciate that it's not the best feature of our brain when it comes to a positive parent-child relationship. And so what I do in my work and in the book is teach parents how to sort of override that negativity bias and learn how to more intentionally focus on the positive qualities in their kids, the good behavior.
Okay.
And the other thing that I'll pick up on and what you said is that We do. We are looking at good behaviour, but from a strength-based approach, what you're teaching yourself to do as a parent, but even if you're not a parent, if you're just looking and wanting to have a positive relationship with anyone, is to ask yourself, what's the strength that sits underneath that behaviour? So you're doing the right thing in saying, I want to praise good behaviour in my children.
Yes.
But the next step would be to be on asking yourself, what's the strength that sits underneath that behaviour?
What's an example of that in action?
Yeah, that's a lovely question. So if you've got siblings, for example, if you've got two kids and you're seeing them share, well, we would know to praise that. We would say that that's good sharing, well done, you know. But the strength would be you asking yourself, what was in them that motivated them to share?
Oh.
And so what you would say is, thanks for sharing. That was really kind of you.
Yes.
Or that was really fair of
right.
you. And so what you're doing is you're saying, okay, what's sitting underneath the behaviour is a sense of kindness in you or a sense of fairness. And it's this inner strength that you have that's motivating you to behave well. So every time as a parent you reinforce that strength, over time then you don't have to be the person who praises the positive behaviour, because they're not doing it to get praise. They're doing it because they know they've got this strength driving that. A little bit like a dog. Wouldn't it be good if they were? It would be so much more.
Yes, that's what I want.
Less complicated, more easy.
So if they're not sharing, like if one of the kids takes the other kid's toys, do you go, oh, you're not sharing. That's the selfishness in you. Or do you work both ways?
You could do that, and it probably wouldn't be a strength-based approach. But you pick up on something interesting, Nazim, because our tendency is to identify, like, you know, stop fighting, stop throwing things on the floor, stop yelling. And so when we're doing that, we're telling them what not to do. But in a strength-based approach, you just flip it. And so you think to yourself as a parent, well, what do I want them to do instead? What's the positive opposite to not sharing, fighting, throwing? And you call forward that positive behaviour. So in that situation, you'd say, hey, guys, how about some cooperation? Mm. Or I love it when you're so clean. Show me how clean you can be.
So if they're fighting with each other, what would you say?
Mm-hmm. So if they were fighting, then I would, the first thing is that I would ask for, like, okay, guys, come down, time out.
Right.
And
yes.
then I would appeal to their strength. So I'd say, okay, what's missing here? You know, where was the fairness? Where was the kindness? Show me your cooperation. I saw you doing it so well yesterday. Let's see if we can do it again today.
Wow. This is foreign parenting.
It sounds amazing. And like, I immediately want to go home and put it into practice with my child. Yeah. But I know that there's a lot of parents listening right now who are going, yes, but some days it gets to a point where I'm going to lose it. And you got to keep away from windows for fear you're going to kick them out of it.
Yes.
So how do I talk to my strengths?
Yeah.
In that moment when I'm struggling to be the parent.
And that's such a great question. And and what you've identified there is strength-based parenting. It's not just about seeing and building the strengths in your kids. It's about seeing and building the strengths in yourself.
Yes.
I mean, but in those moments of absolute tension, you can't just immediately go to a strength, because that requires you to be able to think.
Yeah.
And when you're feeling that way, you're not thinking.
Think.
So in the book, I talk a lot about mindfulness. In fact, one of the opening stories in the book is that scenario of me with my son, Nicholas, who's now 14, and he's a giant and he's taller than me. But in the story, he was 8. He'd got his first bike. My husband and I had put a little spot to the side of the house to say, this is where you put your bike away.
Yep.
And he was 8. And so what he heard was, when you finish with your bike, just dump it at the front door and mum and dad will put it away for you, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he was really good at following those instructions. Like,
I know him well.
Yeah. And so in the book, that's pretty much the opening story, is me just saying, oh my God, like, when am I, you know, I'm a trained psychologist, I train rats, I can't even train my son to put his bike in the right spot. And so you have this immediate kind of response, and then there's a parenting script that goes, you know, you have your own script inside your own head about, I'm failing and I can't do this. And
do you have more than one kid?
I do, yes.
So
I have.
Did you sort of parent them differently to see which method worked?
She just did a great job on both kids.
I genuinely want to eat your book. I know that's not going to help the information, but it's not how books work. I didn't get positive reinforcement growing up. Anyway.
No, a lot of us didn't, actually, and that's why it's a little bit foreign to us.
Oh, we got too much, and no one likes those kids.
And if you get too much, then it's false praise.
Exactly.
And you're creating a big-headed, sort of overinflated, unrealistic child, and you don't want to do that.
No.
Strength-based is just a really nice, like, it's kind of the seat in the middle.
Yeah.
It's not about being negative. It's not about being overly positive. It's about identifying the real strengths, those talents, those skills, those positive qualities in your kids, seeing them for who they are, and then building them as much as
Love
you can,
it.
Getting them to play to their strengths rather than minimise their weakness.
And before we let you go, because I know we've been talking for a while, but it's been so interesting,
Thank you.
I love that you talk about kids and parents meditating and practicing mindfulness. This has changed my life over the last couple of years.
Yeah, me too.
And often we think you could never get kids to be mindful. You could never get kids to be quiet enough for even a couple of minutes. Mm. But it is possible.
Absolutely. And that's been one of the biggest things. I do a lot of work with schools. And the teachers say the same thing. They're like, there is no chance.
Yeah.
But I think each of us, regardless of our age, craves a sense of inner peace,
yes.
Especially in today's world. It's so frenetic, you know, it's this kind of hyper-adrenalized world. And if you can show kids what peace feels like, they want to come back to it. I mean, my kids tell me, you know, I'll be driving in the car and someone cuts me off and I won't say what I would say on the radio, but they'll be like, Mum, you know, take a deep breath. It's time for some mindfulness.
Oh my God.
Can I borrow your kids?
I'll say too, it's totally a thing that kids, my kid, it can be described as hectic. And he, but he does mindfulness. Yeah. And he actually does guided meditation with people.
Beautiful.
But he actually, he's a practitioner.
He does it. He takes people on guided.
You know, and what I've done some research on this, and I've been able to show that the more mindful the parent, the more mindful the child. So this quality spills over into your children. But what I found in my own home is it's reciprocal because now that I see them being mindful and it reminds me, oh yeah, okay Lee, take a breath.
On your legs.
Well, I want to adopt you and keep you here all the time.
Dr. Lee Waters, thank you so much for hanging out with us today.
Yay.
The Strength Switch is available now at good bookshops. I might preemptively read it now before the kids come. Who knows? Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Lee.
We've avoided kind of commenting on this controversy because it's boring and dumb.
And mainly, we don't know anything about it.
Well, I've been studying up. Because, and I kind of decided yesterday I'm gonna start being interested.
Right.
Now, if you've been under a rock, you may not know that the new Doctor Who, the 13th Doctor Who, has been announced.
It's the 13th.
Yeah, 13th. This franchise has been going for 4 decades, nearly 50 years. Well into 4 decades.
Yeah.
And for the first time in 4 decades, a woman has been announced as the new Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And if you believe all the articles, there was a massive uproar about it.
Huge backlash.
Lots and lots of sad man babies saying that, you know, we're losing something iconic and it's just a terrible decision. But then yesterday, one of the old Doctor Whos, Peter Davison, who played the character for 3 seasons in the early 80s, he also jumped on top of the Staxon, on top of the woman who's been cast. Yeah. And he said that it's a shame that boys are losing a male role model.
Yeah, mate, we only had that.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm tired. One role model.
You must feel, as a heterosexual white male, so underrepresented.
I never have a voice.
In the media.
No one ever listens.
You don't get any superheroes.
It's bullshit.
You got no one to look up to.
Yep.
And now they've finally just taken away your last beacon.
I've got a tear in my eye.
The last bastion for you to look up to.
Next thing, they'll make Jesus a woman.
Oh, my God. Stop it. So when I hear this, I'm like, shut your face, Doctor Who.
Oh,
old
shut up,
80s Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not helping. And so then I went and did a bit of digging around and I found out that the outgoing showrunner, now he's in charge of everything, all the scripts and everything, and he's come out and he said, you know what? 80% of the hardcore fan base are wrapped with this decision.
Yes, of course they are.
And this is a big negative media beat up. And there's been a few kind of, you know, right on the fringes people. And that's, and Twitter, as we know, is not the place to go for sunshine and light.
No.
Twitter's a cesspit of hatred.
Yes.
It is a pit of spiders.
140 characters of bullcrap.
It's just that's where people go to whinge and also degrade celebrities to complain about the airline.
That's where I go.
Pretty much.
I go there to whinge all the time.
Or call out a Telstra or Optus situation. Yeah. But what I've been looking and I'm like, this casting, first of all, Doctor Who is brilliant. And what I didn't know, Doctor Who doesn't have a gun. Doctor Who travels around in the TARDIS and he just helps people and saves lives, right? But he never actually, there's no guns involved in this show, which is a good thing. But also, I just think casting a girl as a hero like this, it just sends a really powerful message about who you can be.
Yes.
And up until this point, it's always been, you know, weird white dudes doing it. And also, I just think changing the old patterns, it's so important to help us move forward. And
yeah,
if we
correct.
Had, and you know what would have been better? A person of colour. And I know her sidekick in the TARDIS is a lesbian who is a person of colour. So that's another step
Brilliant.
Forward. We don't know how long she'll stay for. But I just think,
because I don't know a lot about the Doctor, right? But I think it's just the same person.
Yeah.
It's the same person for the last four decades.
Different actors.
And just in different bodies.
Yeah.
So it's no big deal.
Yeah.
It's still the Doctor.
And it's intergalactic time travel. And why shouldn't women be involved in that?
Yeah.
And I just think with the success of Wonder Woman and Hidden Figures and how all these girls are now feeling like they're represented, if you've got a daughter or a mum or a sister, don't you want them feeling empowered and like they can be a hero as well and not look to be saved by a man, but in fact save themselves?
I don't think my mum would give a rat's ass about the Doctor, but I agree with you.
But if your mum wanted to be a hero...
Oh, she is, though.
Yeah, she is.
She makes a good dinner.
Wow. Did you just reduce your mother down to making a good dinner? Did you just pretty much really rewind everything I just said? No. That's so good. Fantastic. Shut up. If you are whinging about Doctor Who being a man...
lock it down.
Shut your stupid face and move on. That's all I have to say about that.
We love vaginas. We love the vagina. We like vaginas. The vagina bus is coming. The vagina bus is coming. And everybody's spreading their legs to get a pap test. It's really quite important. The vagina bus is coming.
It sure is. And a big shout out to those three men that wrote to me and said they found that offensive.
Whoa,
it's only been men saying that some guy plays it at his shop and it's offensive and in poor taste. You know what surprises me? That anyone is seeing this as taboo. We'll have movies about wars and death and destruction and this is what's taboo.
Yeah, nah.
Get 2017.
It's your sisters and your wives and your mothers and your... Just calm down.
It's just a body part with a name.
Oh, where are these men?
Oh, you should have said... Someone said, someone wrote, is this a lefty feminist agenda?
Oh,
I'm like, you know what?
God.
The right-wing non-feminists have vaginas too.
Yes, that's true.
I'm sorry to shock you, sir.
There's a lot of vaginas out there that need pap tests.
And a character from Austin Powers, the first movie. We need to thank the Ultimate Limo Bus from the BM Group. They have provided us with three
buses.
Because we have had such an overwhelming response from women wanting to do it. We also want to thank the Cervical Cancer Foundation. We're going to the Broadway General Practice, Clinic 66 in Chatswood, and Family Planning Ashfield Clinic. So these three clinics are donating their time and their staff, and we want to thank them so much.
Great.
And we thought that perhaps before we went along, we do need to talk to a professional, a medical professional, and we found one. And you will have seen her on Sunrise. You'll have seen her on Embarrassing Bodies, my favourite show.
Very good show.
For obvious reasons. Joining us now is Dr. Ginny Mansberg. Hey, Jin.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Thanks for coming into
the studio today.
No worries.
So you've obviously heard the Vagina Bus. Would you like that song to play at your practice?
Oh, totally down for that. I tell you, getting a pap smear is not a lefty agenda. It's actually a public health agenda, to prevent cancer deaths. It's like a really universal international agenda, so it's not regardless of politics.
You find it amazing that that's what it's been distilled down to, a political agenda?
Astounding for the three people who thought that way.
Yeah, I know.
Just blokes that have got themselves in a flap.
To be honest, if you're offended by the word vagina or you're offended by the notion of...
Or vulva.
...us trying to help women from getting cervical cancer... Go to another station.
Yeah, you're probably not.
AM is right down the dial. Yeah. We're probably not for you.
No.
Dr. Ginny, we got you in because a lot of women avoid the pap test because it's shrouded in this mystical, what's going to happen to me? I've got to expose myself. So I wanted you to step by step talk everyone through what a pap test is.
Okay, so a pap test is a screening test looking for the signs of cervical cancer before they happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because in 95% of cases, cervical cancer happens as a result of an infection with the human papillomavirus, which is a sexually transmitted infection, and it takes about 10 to 15 years to turn into cancer, which makes it an absolute ripper for a screening test. It means that we can test you for it before it turns into cancer.
Yep.
So what's going to happen is we need to grab some cells from your cervix, which is the bottom of your womb, your uterus.
Mm-hmm.
And that does lurk quite high, we hope, unless you've had a heap of babies and it's fallen down a little bit, but quite high up in the vagina.
Mm-hmm.
And we use a little brush that is really soft. It's not like a hairbrush. It's really, really soft. And hopefully the whole thing should take about 60 seconds round trip. So we insert a tiny disposable speculum into the vagina so we can see the cervix, and we grab some of those cells really quickly, and then we send them off. What we do with those cells is actually changing. There's been a lot of awareness about that. So we're changing the pap test at the end of this year. And so it's going from a 2-yearly test to a 5-yearly test, and we're no longer sticking those cells on a slide and sending them off to a pathologist to have a look at down a microscope. We're actually going to check it for the human papillomavirus itself. That's a big change.
Oh, wow. Great. Okay, that's good. And 60 seconds is nothing. So anyone,
and at the moment, that's once every 2 years.
Yeah.
It's going to be 60 seconds once every five years.
And it's not like you're walking in stripping naked and Captain Hook is standing in front of you.
Whale.
Which I think is what some women think. That no. It's just that it's going to be painful and awful. It might be a little bit uncomfortable,
Dr. Jenny. If that's the case, find a new doctor.
But I think you're right, actually, Harley, because I think that a lot of women that I've seen have had a terrible experience with the pap smear. Mm. It was embarrassing. They felt humiliated. Often it was an older bloke. They were not given a place to change. They weren't given, you know, a sheet to cover up. The whole experience was quite uncomfortable. I think we've really moved quite a long way. And you talked about the Australian Cervical Cancer Foundation. Mm. I mean, they've actually created this whole comfort register where they're giving women ideas. If you go and check out their website, they're actually giving women ideas on what to make sure that they ask their doctor to make sure that it is a more comfortable, less terrifying experience. And I'm very rarely these days hearing women say that it's a dreadful experience. I think that's a thing of the past.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, look, we've had a lot of people register. And, look, if you didn't get on the bus, please make an appointment with your GP. If you've never had a pap test or it's been a very long time, it's time to take control of your health, ladies. Dr. Jenny Mansberg, thank you for coming in. Do you have any books or things you'd like me to promote for you? Do you have some things? What have you got out at the moment? You're very clever. You've always got something.
So I was burnt by my last book. I've decided I'm never writing a book again. But okay. I do have an awesome website, which is drginny.com.au, and I'm on Twitter as well.
Dr. Jenny, I love that. Jenny. Thank you, darling. And thanks to everyone who's registered. We're getting close. Ooh, the vagina bus is coming, guys. I am a very, very proud ambassador of this week is National Science Week.
Yes.
And all over the country, there are really cool activities going on. You can find out what's happening near you at scienceweek.net.au. It's about making kids curious again.
Absolutely.
And it's about also the reason they got me involved is because they want more girls involved in science. They want more women in there asking questions and doing cool stuff. And our next guest is involved in building the largest radio telescope in the history of ever. It will span two continents, Australia and Africa.
Holy moly.
She's very busy. She's tired. She's been working on it by herself.
Yeah.
Dr. Lisa Harvey-Smith, welcome.
Yay.
Well
done.
Hello. Hey, guys. Oh, thanks. Doing it all alone, you know.
Yeah, are you exhausted?
I've got screwdrivers, I've got a spanner. I'm just putting them down for now just to talk to you guys. But I've got to get back to it, okay?
How do you do it over the ocean? You just hang from a really big crane?
Yeah, there's just this crane. You just kind of hang off, and I do a bit of, you know, rock climbing training as well. Yeah, so stretch my arms out.
You are every woman. That is brilliant. How many are actually on the team that are building this?
Oh my God, it's hundreds and hundreds of people. We've actually got 10 countries doing this together, so it's a global, wonderful, internationally thing. But Australia is one of the leading countries because we're actually building part of the telescope here in WA.
It's actually a remote area
of the outback.
What is it about this country? Because we're always on the forefront of this. We have the best, you know, satellites and telescopes. Is it because of our position on the Earth?
Mm. Yeah, we're just the best, you know. But also, Australia happens to point towards the middle of our galaxy. I know that sounds a bit weird, but you know when you look up in the night sky and you see stars, but you also see the Milky Way,
which is
this bright band of light across. That's our galaxy that we live in. And the middle of our galaxy is really, really interesting. It's got cool stuff like black holes in it.
Which is what you
point
are
towards it.
You're an astronomer and a black hole hunter.
Which is an excellent term.
Amazing.
That I'm trying to not make jokes
about. I'm sure Lisa hasn't heard any jokes about being a black hole hunter. Push on
this
Lisa.
On the ABC.
Mate, did they not warn you about us?
You should be warned.
I know about you.
Well, do you know this thing is that you're a super, super intelligent science lady. You're making this massive big telescope and looking out into the universe and you're talking to the ambassador for Science Week. Do you know that M. Russiano is a moon landing skeptic?
Oh, no, I've met Buzz Aldrin and he punched a man once for that, so be careful around him.
What a brilliant response. That's all you need to say.
Well, look,
I'm not condoning violence.
Look, you can have your opinions, award-winning astronomer at the CSIRO, Dr. Lisa Harvey-Smith, and stand-up comedian Emma Siano can have it.
It's a wonderful world we live in.
Isn't it? A wonderful world.
Lisa, I know it's a stupid question, but why are you building the biggest telescope in the history of ever, ever?
Well, we like to learn about stuff, don't we? Scientists, we're curious, we're interested in the world, and normally scientists are driven by the desire to find out more, and then we kind of invent stuff after that to help the world as well. Mm. So we're interested as astronomers in studying space, and what we can't see at the moment is like 99.9% of the universe, which is quite inconvenient for astronomers.
Wow.
All we can see in the night sky with our eyes is about a few thousand stars, and there's trillions and trillions and trillions of stars and galaxies and black holes out there. So we're just trying to see further and fainter objects and trying to understand the universe we live in.
And it's
an amazing, amazing thing. We can see almost 14 billion light years into the future, into the past. I mean, you're actually looking back in time when you use a radio telescope. So you're looking through billions of years of history. It's an incredible project to really build up a history of our universe. There's nothing bigger than it.
That's amazing.
This is it's so cool. I wish I could have you on for the whole show. This is the reason when they ask me, I know I'm not science, but as a little girl, I would look up to the stars. And I know there's probably a lot of little girls on their way to school now who would just look up and wonder, you know, what is out there? Have you always loved this? As a little kid, were you fascinated by the night sky?
Yeah, my dad got me into it when I was about 12. And we looked up and we saw this little red star in the sky. And it was Mars, the planet Mars. Mm. It's like one of the closest planets to us. And it was amazing. I couldn't believe how beautiful it was. And then I got to look through telescopes when I was a bit older and found, you know, things like the planet Saturn with the rings around it. It looks so gorgeous. Mm. So I really got into it from a young age. And now I'm a professional nerd. So
you are a professional nerd. Well, you're one of the leading. I mean, without sounding condescending, we've both got pride in our eyes talking to you right
I'm
now.
I'm very impressed that I have a job that I can talk to somebody as intelligent as you because that doesn't happen often.
No, and you didn't make a black hole joke either, so well done.
But you did well.
Anyways,
very restrained.
Dr. Lisa Harvey-Smith, thank you for talking to us. I know it would have been a terrifying prospect to not do the ABC and talk to us.
And thanks for coming.
If there are any kids out there listening who love space, who want to know more, hassle your mum and dad to go to scienceweek.net.au. You and check out what's around you. Dr. Lisa Harvey-Smith, I feel much better knowing that you are on the forefront of finding out what the hell's going on up there.
Cheers.
Thanks, honey.
Thanks, mate.
Bye.
Harley, plug your headphones in. Shambolic. Shit. Get it in. Don't say shit. We're past nine.
Are we on air?
Yes, it's Em and Harley on Today FM. Be listening out for the Pink song so you can go to LA to see
Is that
Pink.
Still not happened?
Nah.
I'm going home at nine.
No, you're not.
If you haven't done it, I'm out of here.
Joining us now are two girls we admire. We love them. They had a fantastic YouTube series, and then it went to Ivy, didn't it? The catering show.
Yes.
They're
From
back.
YouTube to iView, you guys are loaded.
You guys are.
Idea the ABC bullion that is
I can now afford to buy paper towel, toilet paper, and tissue.
Wow. Oh, slow down. Kate McLennan and Kate McCartney, welcome. I just realised you're Lennon and McCartney. That just hit me in the sauce, guys.
These are the last one.
Yeah. Oh, all right, round.
Down
already started.
Mate, you're trying to promote something.
I know,
mind your P's and
so
Q's.
So antagonistic.
Sorry. It's good to see you all.
You've got a problem with women. That's your situation.
It's true. I don't like them.
Oh, doll. You've got a new show, Get Crackin', and it is a statement on morning television and breakfast radio and, in general, just morning entertainment.
Yes.
I'm so
But it's on at night time. It's very confusing.
Must be easy to promote.
Look, we're giving it a crack today. Let us know how we go. Feedback appreciated.
Now, you did do, after the success of the runaway success of the catering show, you went and did a bunch of morning television.
Yeah.
And you were struck by a few things. And so you've gone away and made...
Yeah, there was a day last year when we were promoting the second series of catering and we went on to a radio station. It was the day that, I don't know why I started laughing. We were promoting our show and then it was also the day that Prince had died. So we walked into the studio to do, you know, a bunch of press and it's like, you know, hear talk about these funny girls.
Funny girls.
And also Prince's died.
Now it's time
I'm going to go into a very serious playlist.
Raspberry Beret.
An amazing performer.
Well, that's the classic gear shift.
Yeah.
We call
yeah.
it that. That is yeah. a thing that happens in the morning time. You just have to be dead on the inside, basically.
That's what we've sort of tried to explore, which, to be honest, wasn't that much of a stretch to find that deadness in inside.
Yeah, you guys are already dead.
Bubbling close to the surface. Yeah.
After sort of having, you know, two toddlers for two years. Yeah, we're emotionally shut down anyway. So we feel like it's just a natural thing for us to do.
Yeah. Well, watch the show.
It's going to be amazing. So there's a lot of pop culture references, no doubt, a lot of cultural touchstones, a lot of things that, you know, you'd just be discussing that you don't understand or care about.
There's a bit of that combined with stuff that we really do care about. So we talk about trends in the show, but then all of a sudden we'll sort of just launch into how the Great Barrier Reef's dying and our kids are being left a dust bowl, you know. Yeah. So that just sort of, you know. Just...
And then it's back into unicorn hair.
Right.
So all the fish are dying, it's terrible, but there's a new trend where your hair could be rainbow.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to
it. How do you find this promoting a TV show that you're basically bagging out a lot of things and you need those programs to promote it? Like here.
Yeah. Well, no, I love it. We haven't done any breakfast TV yet.
No.
I don't know if we'll be invited back.
No, I don't think you will be.
No, you will, because they won't have watched it. I promise you.
They'll have you on,
and then they'll be just as you're coming on. They'll read it, right, and then they'll realize what's happening, and then that's fine.
Yeah,
yeah.
And maybe I'm wondering if today will maybe get us on. We do a section where it's called McLennan's Mea Culpa, where I stand on a spot. We have like this enigma soundtrack happening, and I go and make some apology for some faux pas that I've supposedly made during the show. And
happens every week.
Yeah. Aww. And so I kind of take on this very Channel 9 Carl Stefanovic vibe in my apology, where it's like, everybody knows that I can be a bit of a ninky-nonk, right, guys? And the crew just yell out, letter starting with letter C.
Amazing.
So it's... Yeah.
Oh, because you're late on the ABC.
You can say whatever you want.
You can say whatever you want.
Yeah, we can.
That's great.
Apparently.
I'm genuinely excited about it. I'm just looking forward to seeing it. That's all. I don't care. You take the piss out of us all you want. Go for it.
We mainly take down TV. There's a little bit of radio piss taking, but it's mainly TV. It's a lot of stuff from TV.
Yeah.
So if something's kind of happened on morning TV in Australia in the last couple of years.
Yes.
It's in the show.
Well, get cracking. New series for ABC. 9:30 on ABC and ABC iView. Kate, please come back in anytime. You're welcome.
Oh, we'd love to come back.
We're not going
to leave. Yeah, we need more material, so we'll be back.
Oh, we'll give you some stuff. It's fine. Talk to our producers. It'll be great. It'll be a drama, but it'll be great. Thanks, girls.
Thanks.
Joining us, someone who's not afraid to karaoke either. I've witnessed it.
Yeah.
She's also the star of Foxtel's Wentworth. You're the star now.
She plays
Ellie Novak. Please welcome Kate Jenkinson.
Welcome, Kate.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
No worries.
If you could just tell everybody that I am the star.
We just did.
Technically, I'm still number 7 on the call sheet. All actors out there will understand
that.
What?
Explain that.
Disgrace.
Well, basically, the hierarchy of the actor's importance is denoted by your number on the call sheet. And I'm, you know.
Number 7?
Yeah.
But
it's not alphabetical?
No, it's not alphabetical. Oh. It is quite literally in order of how important you are to the show.
And
so
you're
I'm
7.
Still, yeah, I'm still a basic bitch.
Who's number 1?
You're never a basic. Who is number 1? Who's top dog?
Oh, top dog is. Ooh, hang on. Top dog is now Ferguson, the freak.
The freak.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, that makes sense. Well, I don't think you're number 7. Judging by the insane Instagram following, Kate decided last year that she might just try Instagram and then boom, got like 50,000 followers straight away.
Really?
Dedicated lesbians just wanting her to just please acknowledge me. I've never seen, you have, like, they're committed.
I do have a very friendly and enthusiastic fan base.
That's great.
And it's from Wentworth.
Oh, absolutely. I'd like to think that it was somewhat to do with myself and my personality.
You're on Offspring. No. You were great on Offspring.
Yeah, people couldn't give a rat's ass about that.
Yeah.
No, it was just...
Yeah.
We want to see you in teal in the showers, preferably naked, getting on with another woman.
Does that happen a lot at work?
Quite literally.
Right.
And
okay.
sometimes not at work.
Yeah, Kate has a beautiful girlfriend as well. Yeah. So I want to know, Wentworth is famous for its lines, and we're chatting about this off air, and a mutual very good friend of ours, Michael Lucas, got to write a season.
Yes,
and
did.
The highlight of his life was writing the line, "I'll shove a hair straightener up your clacker."
Hello. That's not where it goes.
Ow.
No.
But at least you'd know where it was.
Well, I mean, at least you'd have very straight pubic hair.
Wouldn't you? Really would.
Yes.
But do you get to read the script and go, oh, my God, this is, like, do you get those lines? Who gets those lines the most?
But I think the best lines go to Juicy Lucy, who's, like, the head alpha bull dyke. Yeah, but yeah, I think so. Maybe she changed it by default. But she gets the best one. There was this fantastic conversation that she had in the cafeteria where she said, Who's taken my bacon? And someone else says, "You don't. I thought you only ate pussy juice." And she looks back and goes, "I'll eat your pussy juice."
Oh, wow. Yes! And we're talking about cat's milk.
Cat's milk.
The milk that cats have. What's that's amazing. That's so good.
Kids are in cars. No, they're out by now.
It's all good. This is our show. Mums and dads know now. So we're also talking about how actors find out, because your show is not afraid to kill off people.
Well, exactly. I'm number 7 on the call sheet today, but maybe next week I'll be number 1.
Yeah, right.
Get rid of all those other extraneous characters.
So how do you find out? Do they pre-warn you and go, because like, obviously, spoiler, I don't care, spoiler alert, but B, your lover, was knocked off.
Yes, she was.
And did that actress know that was happening? Or is that just something you guys find out on the day of the script read?
I think, generally speaking, I think that people would be forewarned. In that particular case, I think that it was shrouded in a cloak of invisibility I really think the producers didn't know whether they should go ahead with such a spectacular end to the series. So I really don't think that they knew until the last minute. So unfortunately, neither did Danielle or either of us.
I guess you'd have to know as an actor in a show like Wentworth that your days are numbered.
Exactly.
I'm either getting out or getting killed.
We're not making the Big Bang Theory.
No. Thank God.
Yeah, so...
That's what you call the shower scene.
So there is a healthy...
It's not the worst thing that's been said this time.
You've become a giggling boy.
I am a giggling
boy.
Fine.
Yeah, so there is a healthy level of fear that we all have whenever we're reading a script, and we do kind of tend to flick to the end of the script to see who's still.
Yeah,
who's
see
still
if you've got a job.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you've been part of some amazing TV deaths, though, because your brother was killed. Patrick, she played Patrick's sister on Offspring.
Yeah.
The episode was also in, as we know, but got overshadowed by Patrick's death. Selfish.
I've had to do a lot of Claire Danes crying on television. You know, where the chin goes and she kind of makes the sound.
You're very good at that.
That was good.
Yes, it's good. Well, Wentworth season 5 is on Showtime and Foxtel now. And are we allowed to say that the next one?
Yeah, we're officially confirmed for season 6.
There
you
go. Yes.
Who knows who'll be alive, but
who
please
knows?
Watch it.
But you'll be there at the start.
Well,
we
maybe, who knows? It could be a ghost.
Oh, a sexy ghost.
Sexy ghost.
Yes. Yep. Don't forget to watch Wentworth. Kate Jenkinson, aka Ali Novak, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, mate.
Rolling on a river. Oh, yeah. You're supposed to join in, Biatch.
Oh, sorry. I wanted to listen to you.
You're the singer. Jess Malvoy, everyone. Yay. Welcome.
Thank you.
I've sent Harley home because, look, he doesn't. Ali just sits and stares in interviews.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't get a word in. So he said to say g'day.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But
g'day.
I'm here.
I love it.
Good on him.
He did Thank do you. The last chat with Malboy.
Oh, yeah, actually. Yeah, he
the
did.
Last one. Yep.
I was away.
Now, bloody Anne.
But your bloody Annie M's here now.
Oh, it's so good to see you, Mum. Oh. And thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Are you joking? Now you're here to whore a song, thank God.
Yeah.
Because it's been, you're just saying, 2 years since you've done what you're born to do.
Yeah. Sorry. Having been given the opportunity for Secret Daughter,
which
was
I have a bone to pick with you about Secret Daughter.
Yes.
Because when I heard about Secret Daughter, is she the Secret Daughter? I'm like, well, man, you've said it in the title. So what's the point of even watching? Because you've given away the whole show. Because I'm saying she is.
Yes.
in the title. But Secret Daughter, season 2 is coming.
It's coming back. Yeah. So at the end of this year sometime would be really, really nice. So it's currently in the editing room.
Yeah.
I just wrapped.
Yeah.
And now just kind of on a music binge, really. I just want to get back into music and do, you know, what I'm naturally born to do. Yeah.
No, and let's just talk about that because I really feel like I want to see you in more leotards.
Ooh,
I want to see more wind machines. I want to see more sequins. I want to see more sparkles.
Woo!
I just feel like there is in you, and I know it, it's going to bust out one day because Australia is gagging for a diva right now. And you're like, you've been busy being spiritual and clever. I'm proud of
setting
you.
Setting it up. Setting it up.
I love it. I'm a strong Indigenous woman. I know what I'm doing.
Yes.
But I just feel like... it's time, Jess, for you to get on a spinning platform and have some hard-bodied young men dancing behind you. now, the new track, Fallen, might be a bit weird if there's some naked guys in the clip. I haven't workshopped that.
Well, it's art, isn't it?
Yeah. I feel like you could do some interpretive dance to Fallen.
We could do, like, a follow-up. Oh, yeah, exactly, interpretive dancing.
I'm loving that.
With, you know, just me, some fellas.
Oh, my God, yes. keep going. I'm loving that idea.
With some material.
Yeah. Material,
I don't know what kind of like textured material, perhaps.
Sheer. Lots of sheer. Yeah. Mesh.
I love a good mesh. Tulle, perhaps.
Yes. Oh my God. See.
You know, and a bit of colour. Yep. I don't know what kind. Okay. What do you think?
I love me some bright colours. I love me some rainbow flags.
Yes.
I'm loving me. Let's just get a hot. Let's.
I'm loving mustard. That mustardy colour. So that's a bit of colour.
That's nice.
It's a nice kind of neutral.
I just like the colour glitter. Glitter's a good colour.
Glitter's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just go with that. Mustard glitter.
You're saying glitter mustard. Out there going, make a note, M should never be allowed near Melbourne's crew. So I said to Ben off air, I go, I'll manage it.
I agree. Like, my mind just goes crazy in terms of, like, what I see visually. And so eventually, like, I really want to explore that.
How old are you now?
I'm now 27.
Oh, my God, I hate you so much.
Baby.
Why?
Oh, my God, you're interested. I feel like you've been around for 30 years. How are you only 27?
Yeah.
Are you aging backwards?
Thank you.
What
oh my
the
God.
Hell?
I don't know. I don't know what
How
the hell.
How am I 11 years older? Hell? I am actually... Oh, Jesus. I just... You're so young. You. So I feel like, you need to do this stuff. Fallen is beautiful. Like, your voice, that must be a mofo to sing live, man.
It is.
It's a big, big hook.
And you know about it. Like, you can really hear the struggle in terms of how...
It's beautiful.
It is structured. So it's like, something about the way you drive me up the wall. And then it just kind of goes straight into, but I can't help falling for you. Ooh. So it's kind of a struggle. And then it goes back to quite soft and sweet. I mean, I love that stuff. And it was just in the moment. So I'd really created it as an artist and then had, you know, was really inspired by Billy Carter's journey and what her love looks like in that celebration of life to her. And really integrate that and make it more of a narrative.
We're gagging. We're waiting.
So thank you.
It's gone number one, biatch.
I know.
You knocked Esposito off. Thank God. I hate that song so much.
Well, it's because of you guys. You know, you guys are able to send it out to, you know, to the public and to have people listen. So really
but you're a good human.
Yeah.
You're talented. You're one of ours.
Thank you.
No, it's important that people, you know, people that we genuinely love and we are.
Yeah, thank you.
Malboy's got a song played. I didn't want to hear it.
What is it called? I don't care.
It is called Fallen. Yeah. You do you. Don't take any shit.
Thank you.
If you need me, I've got your back.
Woo!
You tell me. I'm not even joking.
I know.
If you need me, I'll be
she's
there.
She's looking deep into my eyes. Yeah, like, she's just like eyeballing me.
She knows. I've got her back. We've had some strong discussions.
Yes.
We've had some tequila.
Yeah.
You're a very talented drinker.
Under the table.
She's like amazing. Irresponsibility. She's very responsible. But God, she's impressive. I won't say anymore. Jess Malboy will be performing.
You,
you're going to be performing her number one single right now for us. You get out there, girl. You run out there to that.
Here we go.
Who you got? Have you got
a
guitar or keys?
Daryl, I got a guitar.
Yeah.
I've got some percussion.
Love Daryl.
Girls.
Yeah. All right, great. All right, you get out there. This is Jess Malboy with her new number one ARIA single, Fallen.
Something about the way you drive me up the wall. And there's something about the way it leaves me wanting more. Oh my, I've been that girl who has to play it safe. So I try to find the reasons I should walk away. Cause I don't wanna want you like I do.
to say,
yeah,
that I was kinda thinking maybe you could stay. Oh my, I've been that girl who has to play it safe. So I try to find the reasons I should walk away. Cause I don't wanna want you like I do. But I can't help falling for you. Ooh, ooh, hey. Yeah, I can't help falling for you. Ooh, ooh, hey. Yeah, yeah. Falling for you. I can't help falling for you. Falling for you. I can't help falling for you. Oh my, I've been that girl who has to play it safe. So I try to find the reasons I should walk away. Cause I don't wanna want you like I do. But I can't help falling for you.
First fell in love with our next guest when I heard her sing "Don't You Treat Me Bad, Don't You Make Me Sad."
Which you could sing better than me, by the way.
Last night, The Bachelorette kicked off at 7:30 on 10. Sophie Monk, hello.
Yay. Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
G'day, Soph.
Mate, I love you.
Oh, thank you.
I met you so many years ago and you came in and you were filling in for Fifi, I think, when she was having the baby.
Yeah, yeah. I remember.
And you walked in and you goes, "Girls, I've had a nice sleep. I need a ciggy."
Yeah.
That was the first thing I ever saw of you. And yeah. I thought, I love that woman.
Nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed at all.
At all.
No, I'm good mates with Nick Cody, who I know you've worked with.
I love
him. He's like, she can drink with the best of us.
No, oh, yeah.
She's what
better.
We call a top bird.
Yeah, top.
Sophie Monk.
Yeah.
You're a top bird. And you did kick
Tomboy.
Off.
Tomboy.
Yeah. Wow. Very beautiful one.
Oh, thanks.
You're all right, mate. Yeah, so The Bachelorette kicked off last night. And what I love is just, you just came out at 10. You cracked a joke saying you're pregnant.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I thought it was going to come off really straight because I was like, it's quite emotional, this show.
Yes.
But then I just realised because I'm so bogan that kind of everything comes out funny.
Well, you said that. I'm 37. I'm a massive bogan.
Yeah.
Like you just said that. Got that straight out of the way.
Hey, I'm 37 and I'm a massive bogan.
Oh, here we go.
You two should have just...
Twinsies.
Oh, yeah. Let's hang out and talk cars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love cars too, actually.
Then you suggested playing Spin the Bottle but then realised it was only one of you.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
And then you said you like little boys and realised you shouldn't have said that either. So
oh,
you
God.
Were...
God, I remember all this. Yeah. I didn't get to watch it properly.
It was an amazing first episode. I got to ask, I was worried about you going in because you are, much like me and Harley, we're performers, we're open wounds, we're emotional.
Yeah.
Were you worried about how you would come off? Like, because it's hard to control yourself, especially people like you. You are who you are. Camera's in your face. Were you worried about how you'd be perceived?
Totally.
Yes.
I was. But... luckily, the guys cracked before I did. But, like there's so many tears, and it's not just me. It's
really?
The guys. Yeah.
You made the men cry.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, safe.
Yeah, I don't know if they were crying because they were leaving each other, though.
Well, see, that's
it was more that. And sometimes I was like, hey, I'm over here still. Like,
now, did this idea genuinely start on Tom Gleason's Hard Quiz? Was that?
No, well, my mum suggested I go on it before that, but that was just a joke that came to me because my mum said that.
Yeah.
And then I sat back and went, I should do it. It was like a week. Of like talking.
Really?
I went to them.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You pitched yourself.
Yeah, they didn't want me.
What?
I said to them, can please. And so we did a meeting because they wanted to know it was legit as well. And I wasn't doing it for other reasons. And then they went, yeah, let's do it.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So how desperate. They didn't even ask me.
No, Not only could you not find a boyfriend, you couldn't even find a reality show to have you on to find a boyfriend.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that you pitched yourself. That's epic.
I flew myself everything. Yeah.
PowerPoint presentation. I turned up in a red dress. I had a rose. And have you found love?
Yeah, fully have.
Fully.
Thanks,
fully,
God.
Fully sick in love.
Yep. 100%.
Is it contractual?
I'm looking at her deep in
God,
her
no.
eyes.
No, I wouldn't do it. I honestly would cancel all press.
Yeah, right.
I'm not doing it. I can't lie.
Yeah, right.
Very well. So, no, wouldn't be here.
Sophie's meant to be here. She's not coming. Oh, okay. Yeah. She's still on her own. Oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah,
so. See her in loves.
Yep. It full works. Yeah.
Look at her. I'm looking in her eyes.
No, promise.
Nah, promise. Why is she switching?
I'm trying to do like switches. I don't know what you want out of them.
Nah. So some of the boys are proper tossers.
Yeah.
Proper.
Yeah.
But in you.
Name names.
Oh, God, no.
She doesn't have to, mate. Anyone with eyes and ears.
Yeah.
But sometimes they come off, they're nervous the first night, so they're real, they come off bad, and then they're actually nice. And the guys that are actually nice end up the biggest cockheads. So.
That's like, life.
Yeah, that's right.
Actually life.
Yeah.
God, I love you so much. And so how are you keeping it under wraps? Like, so you have to pretend whoever this person is that won, and none of us know. So you guys, like, have to just be strangers.
Yeah. Well, we get, like, locked down to meet up.
Or you do. Oh,
but I'm
you get
flying
some
out of the country because I can't do it. I'm going to ruin it. And I'm going to give it away for everyone. And I know people are so invested in this the brand of the show. So I was like, it's time I evacuate.
So you're removing yourself.
I'm flying myself. Yeah.
Just
is the bloke going with you?
No.
No?
No.
You're just going to be apart?
Yeah, I'm going with my best friend.
Not even going to do secret routes?
No. No, it's not worth it.
Secret routes are fun, though, aren't
they? Yeah, but not
she might
path.
Not have even, she might have even done routes yet. We don't know.
Well, sorry to assume.
Yeah. It'd be weird if I hadn't.
Well, you might be saving yourself, you know, for marriage or something. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, I don't know why I said
have
that.
Have you not Googled it?
I know.
That horse is bolted, I'd imagine.
Oh, I didn't want to make assumptions.
That horse ran through the chapel and kicked the preacher on the way past.
She's a lovely lady.
I didn't say anything about it.
Nah, fine. Sophie Monk, I'm so looking forward. I don't only watch this thing, but I'm watching because of you, and I like that, you know, you are the ultimate prize. The Bachelorette, 7:30 tonight on 10. You're just a gem. Please come back and see us when you get back.
For sure.
And bring your love with your partner in, and I'll ask you. We'll ask you soon.
Pleasure meeting you.
Thanks, guys.
Happy for you. Bloody good.
Same. I'm happy.
Before we get to our guest, Tracy Spice is here. Hello, Tracy.
Hello. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming in.
Trace, before you came in, we were debating. Your book sparked an argument last night.
I apologise.
That's not your fault.
Not the content
Hang
of your
on,
book.
We've talked about we're not allowed to say sorry when you know, women say
That's
sorry
That's right,
too
I'm not
much.
Sorry at
Don't
all.
Don't say sorry. I love you. But we have had a call. Adrian, I was in bed already. My husband came to bed and asked me to turn the light off, walk past the light switch, and I wanted to know.
Heavy debate.
Whose job is it to turn the light off at night?
Yeah.
Adrian in Liverpool.
Well, in this situation, I would have to say 9 times out of 10, if you're last to bed, you turn off the light. However.
Thank you. Yeah. Cut Adrian off. That's enough for Adrian.
However, what else have you got?
You're reading a book.
Yeah.
And because I know what it's like to cop it from a woman when she's in the middle of doing something and you turn off the light.
Oh, brave words.
Oh, you'll cop it, Adrian. You'll cop it all right.
You should have got up and turned off the light. Or, if you don't want to be a minor, you get one of those little, bookmark lights.
Oh, yes.
Have you seen those?
Yeah, yeah. I've seen them. Why should I have to act like a criminal in my own bedroom?
Well, you'll start a fire and burn down the house, do you?
Exactly. I probably will. Thank you, Adrian. Whatever. Who let him through? What are the rules? Tracy Spicer, the good girl stripped bare. Is your memoir, your feminist memoir. And it's also what I love. It's just full of good advice on how to be a kick-ass lady.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Working in the media for 30 years was like being in the Hunger Games, but the only food is your soul.
It's so true. I feel you.
So I learned a few little tricks along the way, and I'd like to pass them on.
You really did. And I think, did all the lessons come after you, can I say you were fired because you dared to have children? Is that a fair summation of what happened?
Yes, I committed the crime of having children and then not dropping all the weight straight after, which is what you're supposed to do as a woman.
Get
in
them
television.
Out and then get back to work.
That's exactly right, and go back to being a size 8. Otherwise, sorry, you're not sexy for the audience anymore.
Right.
Exactly. So after they did that to you, and there was a moment you talk about where you could have just accepted that they said that it was for family reasons.
And that's what they always said to women at that time. And so many women did. They said that they chose to leave, whereas in actual fact, they were boned, they were sacked.
Mm. Yeah, right.
And so you decided, you know what? It was, now was it Channel 9?
It was, there was a lot of harassment at both Channel 9 and Channel 10.
Channel 10.
But
yeah.
It happened at Channel 10, Channel the pregnancy 10. Discrimination. Yes.
And you're like, you know what? Get stuffed. I'm going to tell the truth. And you sued the hell out of them.
I did, because I've been the good girl for so long. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Three bags full, sir. Mm. I just sat there and smiled while they've gone, stick your tits out more, get two inches off your ass. You're porking up all of this business.
Oh my God.
And then my head just exploded one day. And I thought, no, I'm going to take them to the federal court and also start talking about it publicly to give advice to all the other women. Like, there was an excerpt of my book published on Sunday, and I got hundreds of emails again from women in all different industries and from men saying, this happened to my daughter, this happened to my wife, this happened to my aunt. So it's still going on.
Yeah, and my husband read it and actually gave you some unsolicited feedback, which was kind of him. Sorry.
Always handy.
Yeah, he
men
loved
good
it
at
though.
That.
This guy,
thanks, guys.
It was so weird. He said to Tracy, I read your excerpt in The Age, and, you know, I felt like it was lots of different thoughts coming at once, and I'm like, oh my God, stop. But, I mean, the thing about the book is it's not just your story, but you've also got this in there. I mean, I'm reading the list off here. You've got pregnancy discrimination, obviously, anxiety, abortion, voluntary euthanasia, class warfare, sexual harassment. What, like, you've got 10 books in one.
It's a really cheery book too.
Yeah, it sounds.
It's very funny.
The front cover looks light and cheery.
Yes.
And it's meaty in the middle.
Yeah, no, it's funny. And it's from Bogan to Boned and beyond. Like,
yeah, I
love that.
Look, I'm so inspired by you, Em, because I wanted to deal with a whole bunch of thorny, nasty issues, nasty women issues, but in a humorous way, because I think it's the best way to get a message across. So, yeah, it is a comedy book, as odd as that sounds.
It's funny. No, it is funny. And what I want to know is, any young women who are aspiring to do what you and I do, I would love to know what you would say to them.
Go in with your eyes wide open. Do it, because we've got to keep fighting the system from within. But be aware of the challenges you might face and stand up for yourself. Find allies in the office, whether they're women or men, and just fight. Because the best thing I ever did was to fight workplace discrimination. It just made me feel, I feel like I'm forged by fire, like some character in Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
you know?
It's true.
It's really good to stand up for yourself.
Yeah, and we're so often as women taught to keep our heads down and be submissive, and because otherwise you come across as diva or difficult. And when you do finally stand up for yourself, it does upset people. And we don't like, internally having people not like us, because, you know, our whole mind and your role is to be popular and have people like us. And when you start bitching and moaning about things, it kind of flips on you.
That's it. As a woman, you struggle against this whole cult of likability. Mm. You know, that's why we say sorry and just, and we use a lot of verbal modifiers instead of just saying, this is what I want. Whereas if men say that, that's okay. If we say it, it's bossy.
Yeah.
And it's like you're the only ones making babies. Men have no role in it whatsoever. Because we don't get judged by the same.
Exactly right. In fact, and this is in my book, men more often than not get a pay rise when they come back to work after becoming fathers, whereas women suffer the motherhood penalty. They're either, move sideways or sacked, or actually get a pay cut and go down into a less powerful role.
Mm. Look, the book is fantastic, and it's not just for people in the entertainment industry. That's what I love. You've written it for any woman who may be kind of feeling a little bit unsure and not brave. Your book is courage. It's literary courage. So thank you.
Oh, thank you.
For writing
I want to put
it.
That on the cover now.
Please do.
Em says this.
Is there anything else you want to get out? Like, this is our mic, is your mic. Is there any other message you want to send to the women of Sydney or the men of Sydney right now? Go.
I think the phrase good girl should be reframed. It was always traditionally sit there, be quiet, be the good girl, don't ask for a pay rise, don't rock the boat. I think a good girl should be reframed as someone who stands up for her rights, who joins the sisterhood and who rattles the cage in the system.
Rock the boat, set it
rock
on fire.
Rock the boat, good girls.
Blow the boat up. Tracy Spicer, The Good Girl Stripped Bare, is available at all good bookshops. And I'm happy. Will you sign a copy and we'll give it away online?
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you.
Fantastic. I'll give you mine because I've read it, as everyone's heard. Trace, good luck, and anytime, you're welcome on this show, anytime.
Thank you, Em, you're a rock star. Thanks, Harley.
Thanks. We have a little lady in studio who has already been giving these boys sass, so she is always welcome here. Cheerio, Pitt, welcome!
Thank you.
Good to meet you.
That was sort of a subdued applause.
No, because I said, welcome, I was under the table.
Yeah.
And also...
No, what were you doing with your hands under the table?
I was playing with this thing, which is the cord.
We have a guest,
we've got a guest.
Everyone's playing with something.
Your new book, Unmasked, is available now. You make you just do too much.
Yeah.
And a lazy person like me who's just trying to get by doing the least amount, you're killing me, mate.
Sorry, mate.
You just...
You are flat out. That's...
You wrote the book like in 2 weeks.
No,
2 weeks.
No,
you are crazy. How the hell did you do that?
She was having a lend of you, mate.
Huh?
I was taking a piss.
Oh.
How long did it take to write the book?
I love it.
2.5 weeks.
No, like 2 years.
Okay, that's a lot more.
You are too dry. You like she looked me right in the eyes and said that, and I believed it.
Yeah. You did.
To your soul.
I don't believe you anymore.
How do you write a book? Because I feel like I would give up after 2 weeks. Like if I hadn't finished it in 2 weeks and had it published and everyone told me how great it was, I'm done.
Well, I had a ghostwriter.
Yes.
Who I had a really good rapport with, Bryce Corbett.
So I was about to say Bryce Courtney. I was like, all right.
Sick ghostwriter.
Getting the good stuff.
I think he's dead.
They don't exist.
Oh, he is. Yeah. Oh,
sorry. Oh, sorry.
Listen, when we go live, we'll get this right.
Anyway, back to Bryce Corbett. So it was just like talking to a mate.
So right. Good.
You know, when you're talking to a mate, you can just talk for hours?
Yeah.
It was like that.
Yeah, great.
How did you know him? Like, did the publishers introduce you?
No, he used to work for the Women's Weekly.
Sick.
And he wrote Sick Good or Sick Bad?
Good.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, no, sick is means good now.
Yeah, cool. And he wrote a really nice article.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I was like, oh, I want this guy to write my next book.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it happened.
So in the book, like what can we kind of expect? What can we learn about you that we don't already know? What can we learn?
Well, you should first of all buy the book.
Yes,
that would be a good start.
Yeah.
And I think, I guess a lot of people sometimes assume that I'm quite serious.
Oh,
so
I
we know
that
is not true. In the 2 minutes we've known, you've given us all sass. I love it.
Yeah. So you get to see that side really well in the book, and the really cool thing is you get to see. My story played out from other people's perspectives. Cool. Michael, my mom, my dad, my surgeons.
Yeah.
So I really liked that about it too.
So did they sit down with you and the ghostwriter and have these conversations?
Not me. They just bitched about me behind my back.
The real story.
Get the scoop.
She sucks. Don't even like her. I doubt that.
Doesn't work hard. You're flat out. What keeps you going?
I just like setting challenges for myself. I get off on it.
Yeah.
Not like get off.
That's cool too. All friends here.
Each to their own.
I like to set challenges as well. I like to see how many days of the week I can turn into Friday. And I'm up to two.
On a Thursday.
I'm up to two. This is Sneaky Friday.
Well done. That's a very admirable challenge. Well done. Your mum would be very proud of you.
She's not, but she lives in Queensland and doesn't hear this crap.
You know Iron Woman's, don't you? They're like the hard.
Yeah, they're still called. That's called Iron Man, though.
What?
I don't make the rules.
They're still called Iron Man challenges.
So when I cross the finish line, Mike Riley, the voice of Iron Man, says, Tahrir Pitt, you are an Iron Man.
What?
That is weird.
Well, was he being funny like the way you were being funny with me?
He's being sexist. I don't make the rules.
So is that your next challenge to smash that and to change the title of Iron Man?
No, I'm not taking that one on.
Not your
no.
I mean,
I feel like
you've conquered so much. So like,
someone else can do it.
What are you going to do next? Like, what is this?
Yeah, well, I was supposed to do Everest base camp, and I wasn't able to do it. That was about
why not.
I got really sick. Got really sick. I wasn't able to do it. So I guess...
You're heading back there?
Well, I think for me that was a really good experience because it made me realise you can't just set a goal and then achieve it and expect that to always happen with every single thing that you do.
Would you settle for...
It kind of put me in my place a bit.
Right.
Yeah. I see that. Yeah. That's cool because you did Kokoda.
I did a lot last year. I did Kokoda. I did 2 Ironmans. Yeah. I did the Ironman World Championships.
Yeah.
So I was on a real roll, and I guess I felt a bit invincible.
Mm, yeah, sure. And you put so much pressure on yourself, I think. You think, I need to keep doing this.
Yeah,
no, not just women, but human beings.
Yeah, we all do. So going to Nepal, not even leaving Kathmandu.
So you went there?
I went there. I didn't even start the walk. God. Couldn't even start
the walk. Because you got ill and so then had to come back here.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Good. Like at the time, I was obviously really irritated.
Sure.
Yeah. But now I say it's a good thing.
Just settle for like Bass Hill or something.
Yeah. Bass Hill.
Or the Grampians.
Yeah. What's Bass Hill?
It's a hill, isn't it? It's a suburb.
It sounds like a hill.
It's all
in the name. Go to the Blue Mountains, drive up to a cafe.
I want to get someone tomorrow from Iron Man on the phone and I want to talk to them about why if a woman does it, she
Wow,
is an Iron Man. Woman.
That's crap.
Please don't include me.
I won't at all.
I'll find, I don't want anything.
I'll say that I did an application.
Yeah.
But then I saw that it was Iron Man.
That's fair.
Yeah. No, I'm not
it's great
do
we're
it.
Having this conversation in private.
Look, <we're>,
I'll never know.
We're really discussing the important global issues that are facing everyone today. Yeah.
Absolutely. Turia, you can come in here anytime and just
thank you guys.
Join me every putting day. These guys in their place.
I would love that.
An absolute pleasure.
It's a real pleasure meeting you. Good really luck good. With Everest.
Yeah, thank you guys.
The book is Unmasked, and as Turia said, buy it.
Get it.
Get it. Read it. Joining us in studio now, comedian Anne Edmonds.
Anne Edmonds. Anne, one of the loosest units in the industry.
Welcome on this
honest.
Show. Thanks very much. Great intro. I am loose.
You are
and
hectic.
A unit. I am. I can be.
You're a unit.
Yeah.
No, she's not. You can't call someone a unit the second they sit down.
See, here's the thing. I grew up with the word unit meaning you're a bit slow.
Ah.
And then I moved from...
What is it now? What's the definition of a unit now?
Is it you're big or you're a bit of a unit?
Yeah. No, I'm not a big unit. No. I am loose, but I'm not big.
Yeah.
I'm a unit, though. Unit. Sure. Unit.
I'm glad we settled that. Thanks for coming in. It was a terrific chat.
See you later,
thanks
buddy.
For having me.
Yeah. Now, for those in Sydney who are... I always recommend your show, and not just because of my friend, but you're just so good, Anne, and so many people are so shit. And you're not. And your stand-ups, I always sit there thinking, it's just so delightful and offensive and honest, and No Offence None Taken is the new one, the one you're bringing to Sydney.
Mm.
And it comes from your aunt. Is that your aunt?
No, that was a woman I used to work with.
That's it, and she would say the full line.
Yeah, she'd go, No Offence None Taken, but
just
your hair's too thin to wear straight or curly. So that's not how that saying works, is it? It's a two-parter.
Yeah, what was her name?
That was Jody that I used to work with at the bakery.
Yeah. Oh, did you do? Oh, that's savage. Early morning baking.
Yeah, I did baking. I worked at a bakery, and then I started doing the baking at night, like making the donuts. With this crazy guy who was sleep deprived and just used to like walk. One time I said something about a planet, and the next thing I knew, he had all of the planets out. He was demonstrating the solar system through bread rolls. Like he had a cob for the sun, and then he had like a.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was like circulating like dark rye around it. It was amazing. There was something really wrong with him. Speaking of units.
Oh, I love that. What other jobs did you do?
I've had lots of jobs. I worked at the Pancake Parlour. I got fired from there.
That place is super expensive.
It is for pancakes.
It is surprisingly expensive.
Yeah, for pancakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love a bolognese pancakes. I love a savoury pancake. Is that controversial?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you not love a savoury pancake?
No, it's disgusting.
Oh,
I wouldn't do it.
A bolognese with some mozzarella.
Oh, yes. I don't mind a savoury crepe. Savoury crepes,
yeah, that's okay.
But I can't do a savoury pancake.
No, see, I go only sweet crepes with Nutella and maybe some lemon and sugar.
Oh, I love a bit of cheese and ham.
I don't mind getting a banana in there.
Oh,
yeah, mash a banana in. Yep,
exotic.
How many stacks would you go? Like, there was a short stack was just one pancake.
Yeah,
that is short.
It is short.
That's no stack. That's not a stack.
No, it's not. It's not at all. It's just a pancake.
That was a. And then there was like,
how many can you put away? What's the biggest serve?
I think it was a 10 snack.
Yeah, I'd be doing
10
stack. Give me a 10 stack.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
100% right now.
Some sad people used to come in and get that.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
Some units.
units.
Do only sad people, that makes sense. Only sad people. Okay, good. Anything else in this show we should be talking about right now?
You got nominated for one of the biggest awards in comedy in the world. As
Thank
it
you.
Were.
Yeah, I did.
So that just says that...
Is that the Barry? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the Barry.
Yeah, the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, this woman was nominated. No, that's not the first time you've been nominated, though.
It's the second in
second
a row.
Second in a row.
Yes.
So you're pretty bloody good.
I'm all right.
Nah, you're
I can do. I can do comedy. I can't do much else. So,
you can make bread.
I can make bread.
Well,
but
not
that's,
anymore.
Yeah. And how's your TV show?
Yeah, done. My TV show about calisthenics.
Yes.
Yeah. I filmed it last year and it's going to be on air in August on the ABC.
What's it called?
The Edge of the Bush.
The Edge of the Bush.
Yeah,
I
yeah,
can't
yeah.
wait for that. Mm. Oh,
it's
my
the,
goodness.
It's the collapse of a calisthenics dynasty.
What a storyteller.
Yeah.
There's a character you do online where she loves Delta and she sits in front of the computer.
Ah, Rebecca.
Can you please just do it? Leave me alone! They don't know what they're doing on The Voice. I'm the best contestant. They'd never take me on there. I want to go down there. I want to drive down there and knock on the door. It's not fair. Why can't they see my talent? Get stuffed!
Straight in.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, Rebecca, no talking you into it.
I'm going to get Christian to put the video up. You need to see Rebecca. She is hectic. She's so hectic. She does her little auditions into YouTube, into the video, and then her brother comes in.
Yeah, yeah.
Glenn's in the show. Glenn is in the show.
You always crack me up.
Anne Edmonds, you are very funny. No offence, none taken, is on this Friday and Saturday at the Giant Dwarf, Redfern. Giant Dwarf.
Sydney, you won't be disappointed.
No, just go.
Do it.
We can't recommend it enough. Just go and get the tickets now at sydneycomedyfestival.com.au. That is Anne Edmonds. Don't miss it.
Just do it.
Anne, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
See you again.
Bye.
The Emma Ciano Radio Show. With Holly.